Jeremiah 12. This is kind of like Jeremiah reopening his case in a heavenly courtroom. He's going to plead with Jehovah, which is what he does in the first four verses. He pleads with God. And this is what he says, Jeremiah 12:1. Righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you. You let me talk with you about your judgments. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are those happy who deal so treacherously? You have planted them, yes, they have taken root. They grow, yes, they bear fruit. You are near in their mouth, but far from their mind. But you, O Lord, know me. You've seen me, and you've tested my heart toward you. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long will the land mourn, and the herbs of every field wither? The beasts and birds are consumed for the wickedness of those who dwell there, because they said, he will not see our final end. These are some of the same questions that Job had. Remember, when you look at the book of Job, Job asked some of these very same questions. Why do the wicked prosper? Why do the evil people live well? And why does it seem like they're happy? Well, those are some of the same questions that Job had. And Jeremiah says, you know me, Lord. You know that you've tested my heart. You know that I've been faithful in carrying out your will. So he says, pull them out like sheep for the slaughter. He's wanting, I guess you might say, he's reminding God, you need to be taking care of the evil people. And because Jeremiah knows that he is suffering and the wicked aren't. And Jeremiah said the tables need to be turned. The wicked need to be led to the slaughter. And that's what he's bringing up here. And the whole land, as he says, the plants, the beasts, the birds, all of those things are suffering because of the wicked. Why are they suffering? Because of the wickedness of those who dwell there. And that's what he keeps saying. Why is Jeremiah the prophet being treated so badly while the enemies of God are doing great and are prospering? And of course that's a perennial question, but ultimately God is going to say to him, like God said to Job, that the final account isn't made on earth. The final account's on Judgment Day. And that's when everything matters. So here's how Jehovah answers Jeremiah, beginning in verse 5. If you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace in which you trusted they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplain of the Jordan? The first thing he's telling Jeremiah is, if you think this is bad, just wait. That's what he's telling him. If you think, as he says, if you've run with the footmen and they've wore you out, then how are you going to run with the horses? What you're experiencing now, the footmen, is minor compared to what's going to be when the horses come. And so he says things are only going to get worse. Of course, that would be the last thing Jeremiah wanted to hear. But that's what God is telling him. I mean, these are good times compared to what you're going to soon see. And of course, that's very true. Jeremiah is going to see the whole city of Jerusalem destroyed, and he's going to see, people he knew killed, and he's going to see friends of his taken captive, and he's going to be put in dungeon. He's going to be put in stocks. So what he's experiencing now is minor compared to how bad it's going to get. That's the first thing God tells him. For he says, for even your brothers, the house of your father, even they have dealt treacherously with you. Yes, they have called a multitude after you. Do not believe them, even though they speak smooth words to you. Even your own family is going to treat you badly. So God says, Jeremiah, unfortunately, it's going to get a lot worse. Going to get a lot worse before it gets better. So God goes on and says, I have forsaken my house, I have left my heritage, I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. My heritage is to me like a lion in the forest. It cries out against me. Therefore I have hated it. My heritage is to me like a speckled vulture. The vultures all around are against her. Come, assemble all the beasts of the field. Bring them to devour. This is some interesting words that are used here. He says, I have forsaken my house. I have left my heritage. Of course, the house is referring to God's people. How God has forsaken His own people because of their wickedness, because of their rebellion, because of their treachery. God's people had behaved like a lion. They had cried out against God. Therefore, God says, I've hated it. God got to the point where He just despised Judah, His own people. He just despised them because He had done everything for them. Everything imaginable. And yet, they had just turned on Him. They had forsaken His word. They had gone after idols and false gods and all of this. And He had just got to the point where the only thing left to do was to send the Babylonians in and do all of these terrible things. There wasn't anything left. God was going to, if you want to say it, He was going to take away His care for the people and His protection for the people. He had cared for them and protected them and provided for them for generations, and now all of that was going to be taken away. He further says, many rulers have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They've made it desolate. Desolate, it mourns to me. The whole land is made desolate because no one takes it to heart. The plunderers have come on all the desolate heights in the wilderness. For the sword of the Lord shall devour from one end of the land to the other end of the land. No flesh shall have peace. They've sown wheat, but reap thorns. They put themselves to pain, but do not profit. But be ashamed of your harvest because of the fierce anger of the Lord. His people weren't concerned. God's people weren't concerned about what they had done. And so God is picturing for them how bad everything is going to be. He calls them plunderers. The Babylonians are going to come in and plunder the land. And He says, from one end of the land to the other, none of it's going to be left. So from north to south, east to west, He is going to send in the Babylonians, the plunderers. And He says, the sword of the Lord shall devour. He wants them to know that the Babylonians that He's sending in with the swords, He is doing it. I mean, it's Him that's doing it. And He says it's all because of the fierce anger of the Lord. God had reached His limit, and now He was going to discipline the people, for lack of a better word. And it was going to get really bad. So verse 14, thus says the Lord, against all my evil neighbors who touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit, behold, I will pluck them out of their land and pluck out the house of Judah from among them. Then it shall be after I have plucked them out that I will return and have compassion on them and bring them back, every one to his heritage and every one to his land. And it shall be if they will learn carefully the ways of my people to swear by my name as the Lord lives, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then they shall be established in the midst of my people. But if they do not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation. Here basically is God's answer to Jeremiah's question, why do the wicked prosper? Why do the wicked nations prosper? Why do the evil nations prosper? God says, the enemies of God are going to be punished. God says, I'm going to punish them too. Don't think that just because I'm sending in Babylon to take you captive and to destroy the city, that Babylon's going to get off scot-free. God says it's not going to happen. I'm going to take vengeance on Babylon too, just not now. First, I'm going to use them to discipline my people, but then I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to take vengeance on them as well. So the enemies are going to be punished just like Judah and Israel have been punished and are going to be punished. So God is not going to, you know, let them off the hook either. So that's God's answer to Jeremiah. Why do the nations prosper? They're only going to prosper temporarily. God says, I'm going to take care of them at the right time and in the right way. All right? That's what he's telling Jeremiah. Yep. It's going to be bad for a while. It's going to be going to get worse. But, as he says, I will return and have compassion on them and bring them back. So after a period of time, he is going to, you know, allow his people, those that want to come back, and he's going to have compassion on them. But first, they have to learn their lesson. They have to learn their lesson first. And that's what these 70 years of captivity, that's the point of it, is to teach them a lesson, to drive out idolatry. As he mentions here, they've taught my people to swear by Baal. See, God's people had gone after Baal and other gods, and they had been taught that by the nations. So God is going to take vengeance on those nations for teaching his people to worship Baal. So God says, I'm going to take care of it, Jeremiah. The nations are only going to appear to prosper. They're only going to appear to be happy because one day I'm going to take care of them just like they need to be taken care of. And that's what he tells them. And that's, you know, he's basically telling them, you know, Jeremiah, I have a plan. I know what I'm doing. I'm going to take care of it. It may look like things are out of control. It may look like that the enemies are winning. But don't worry, I have a plan. I'm going to take care of it. So you don't have to worry about it. I am in control. And that's the lesson here in chapter 12. God is in control. He knows exactly what's going to happen. He has the time plan, and he's got that all. So he's telling Jeremiah, it's okay. I am in control. Your enemies will get punished. But first, you and the nation are going to go into captivity, and things are going to get worse. It's going to get bad, but it will get better eventually. And that's the message of chapter 12. And it's a great message as well. Well, that's probably a good place to stop. It's 20 till. Lord willing, we'll look at chapter 13 next week. He's going to teach the people, Jeremiah is, through some visual aids in the next chapter.